Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of Double DM Podcast, where today we will be talking about creating myths and legends using your TTRPG tables, your TTRPG games, and your characters, crafting those myths and using those myths in your game. But first, as every week, we have to talk about a few different things here at Double DM, and that brings the first question, as every week. Niels, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, very great. I am just having a blast up until now. Let's see how the day progresses at work, but for now, been awesome already. How about you?
My day is going great so far. I've been having an awful sleep schedule.
That's not good, but normal, I guess.
The thing is, we are currently in that period of time, in the spring period of time, where sleeping with your window open is still might get too cold, but sleeping with your window closed is too warm. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing is, right, the pipes to the heating units of the other tenants in the house I'm living in, obviously they flow through the walls and also are just like affixed to the walls. So if other people are heating, I still get some heat from their heating units. But I'm like here, I want like 5 degrees less in my rooms to sleep. Like, I'm sweating at night, and it's a little bit more of an awful experience now to go to sleep and try to stay sleeping. And right, the thing is, with where I live, the neighborhood is pretty quiet. However, there's a kindergarten right next to me, and their playground area that they have built into their kindergarten is in the same yard as the yard my house has. So basically at 7 or 6:30, these kids get let out into the yard to play, to get, right? Because kids sleep only till like 6, 7 a.m. and the parents bring them in there before they go to work. So the kids are there at 7 and 8. And I'm like here, my normal wake up time is 8. Why are these kids screaming at 7:30? So yeah, I was woken up only 30 minutes earlier than I usually was, but I also went to sleep like 2 hours later than I usually do. So, but yeah, other than that, I'm quite good. Yesterday, I had a very good last training of Kendo before the Berlin Single Championship. As I've been told, the group I have is pretty tough. And it's like, the thing is, not that I can't win, but it's, we are all three, like, I'm in a group with two other people and we're all three pretty much on the same level. So it could be that I just lose two fights instantly or that I win two fights easily. I know that I have my fights back to back, which I prefer, because that means that I can basically just keep my gear, do my fights, and then be done with it. And either I'm done after like 30 minutes of Kendo or not. I don't know how they are scheduling it. I know the groups and stuff like that. And if I were to make it out of the tournament and make it into the top four of that tournament, I would also get a spot to compete in the other tournament, because there are two tournaments back to back, one for the students, one for the Qs, and one for the dance or the masters and teachers and senseis. And the four best Qs make it into the darn tournament.
Okay.
Which would be pretty fucking cool if I made it that far.
Yeah.
But there's like seven other competitors from my own Kendo club, and I think at least four of them are better than me. So if I were to make it there, I would have to go through at least some of my own club, and I think that most of those will probably beat me.
Well, anyways, best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm excited to see you fight.
Oh, God, shit, you coming. my parents are coming too. That's the worst part of it.
Yeah, but that's the way it is when you have tournaments.
Yeah.
Sport tournaments. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. I will see how good I do. Because, right, since I do have the first two fights in my pool, if I lose both of them, I'm just out and I could leave theoretically instantly. So it could be that my tournament begins at 11 and it ends at 11:30 or it ends at 12 and I'm like,
cool. Now what? Cool.
Yeah. It happens. Not that big of a deal, honestly. Having those fights still is a good thing. But yeah, we had a good training yesterday. Which was mostly focused on the three people that were there that also are taking part in the tournament. So we did a lot of baseline work again, not too stressing so that we won't be having muscle aching for the next 3 days. Baseline stuff, simple stuff. So
yeah, you got to know your basic.
Yeah.
You got to have them.
Niels, anything else happened in your week aside from TTRPGs?
I started my own sourdough starter. last week, and it is completed now, and I've baked my first bread with it this morning.
Ooh.
And it's delicious. Yeah, but you know, I'm not so sure about the taste, so I have to eat more of it to be sure, you know, that type of deal. And I have to make more because there's always things to be tweaked here and there.
Oh, whatever, I have to make and eat great bread.
What a tragedy, right?
Whatever will you do? No.
Yeah, but other than that, nothing much really happened. Uh-huh. Except it's amazing weather. Enjoyed my time outside. But yeah, hanging out with friends after work sometimes. Just talking to awesome people, including you. Yeah, just having a great week. Talking to friends, baking bread, all the good stuff, right? That's what you do at some point, maybe, or not. Anyways, as I said, nothing spectacular. TTRPG-wise, I had one session and one coming up, potentially.
Potentially?
Yeah.
So how was that session that you had?
It was good. It was good. We found some clues. It was the same session you were in.
Yeah, I know, but I'm asking you to explain it.
Yeah, I know. We finally found some clues, kind of, and maybe made progress. I guess we'll find out next session.
I guess we'll find out, yeah.
But yeah, still had fun. Still was a fun session.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We found some clues, and hopefully in the next one or two sessions, everything will finally pay off, and we finally get what we wanted for like seven sessions at this point.
Wait, let me check. I think it was about seven, yeah.
Yeah, so seven sessions is, I think, a good estimate for how long we've been running around in circles, more or less. Several times where we like thought, okay, the game is grinding to a halt. We're still looking on. Maybe progress will be made now.
But yeah, we have a silver lining that maybe something will happen next session.
Hopefully.
Or the session after that.
Hopefully something will happen, yeah. I'm looking forward to that, because if not,
yeah.
The thing is, I'm gonna be honest about TTRPGs. I want stuff to happen, and if I feel like stuff is not happening, we gotta have a talk about it. We did. And it wasn't right. It wasn't, this game is shit and I don't like it. It was more, okay, I like playing. However, we need more progress. And that means you, GM, please push us into the direction. Because if we're too dumb to figure it out, that's a thing that happens. And you shouldn't then try to just let us run around until we find it, but give us the clues we need to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going to do next session, I think. I think the GM is just going to sit us down and basically recap all the information with us so we can really understand maybe what we've been missing at this point or what we've overlooked. And therefore, hopefully, get a better understanding of what is actually happening around us in the city where we are supposed to investigate a terrorist organization. And yeah, that's kind of what we are going to be up to. I have a session coming up today, hopefully, which is Storm King's Thunder, which we didn't get to play last week because the GM felt too tired after work to actually be GMing, especially right because this is a campaign where the GM has to have open every single character sheet of every character because the players do not know their character sheets.
Yep.
So the GM really, really has to know everything and has to switch between five documents at all times and recall a lot of information at the same time. And then, right, still read the module of Storm King's Thunder ahead so we can play. I do hope, however, that today, this week, we will get to play because I'm really, really looking forward to actually being a player again for like since last week, Friday, obviously. But I really, really want to play my character again. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we have a session coming up together tomorrow on Friday night. So this is Masks. We are going to play Masks, a New Generation. This is going to be your first time playing in that campaign. Because right, it's a kind of West Marshall style campaign. Not everyone is playing at all times. It's a big group of superheroes where for big sessions, there's going to be a lot bigger group and big meetups. And for smaller sessions, there's only one, two, or even three people doing stuff, but never all of them. So Niels, I just want to ask you, what are you expecting? What do you think is going to come? What are you hoping for? No. Give me something concrete here.
We are in the government district and there are explosions and car sirens and we are first responders. So that's a completely different vibe. Okay. Good to know. Yeah, I'm excited, but also scared. My character is fucking scared.
Yeah. What are you expecting? What do you think is going to happen? What is your first idea when you read that and what is going to happen?
Assassination is my first attempt.
Assassination?
Or my first My first go-to, bombs and chaos are in a government district. My mind instantly goes to, it's a distraction for some assassination shit. I don't know.
But
that's my first association with it.
Interesting.
Fuck, the government is in danger. Let's put everything there. And in the meantime, haha, get that bitch. Well, I guess I have to find out tomorrow.
Yeah, you will have to find out tomorrow what is going to happen.
That's my first association. And my character is fucking scared to be a first responder, especially in a chaotic environment, because my character is not has a tendency that would be, but has the possibility to lose control over his powers and drag people down with it. Being a first responder in a very stressful situation as the first or the second real job or response is a stressful situation when you're not used to it, obviously. That might cause him to lose control or maybe it has the exact opposite effect, to sharpen his instincts and then focus his powers and gets to control them even better. Who knows? I have to find out tomorrow. But that's what's going through his head basically when he got the briefing.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And we will see what will happen. What stuff you guys will destroy and what ideas.
Everything. What?
Yeah, everything will be destroyed. Everything will turn to ruin.
Yeah, it's the apocalypse, man. It's the fucking apocalypse.
The
world is going to be no more after that. You're welcome. You're welcome, world. I rid the world of dangers because there is no world anymore. Haha, that's how that works, right?
Oh, no? That might be a spoiler for a villain in a different campaign.
Excuse me?
And with that...
Elaborate. No, you dick.
We will see you after the break, where we will be talking about myths and legends. See you then. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Homie and the Dude and their new Kickstarter, The Wandering Tavern. Just like their last Kickstarter, Sky Zephyrs, they will deliver incredible content for you to get immersed in a new and unique location inspired by the works of Studio Ghibli, full with plot hooks, mystery, threats, and everything else you will need for a campaign of your favorite TTRPG, packed into this one system-agnostic location. Included in this Kickstarter are 15 giant battle maps, 33 NPCs ready to be used, 30 different engaging and interesting plot hooks, 18 new magical items ready and waiting for your players, and 13 setting-themed recipes, new mechanics, and a whole of world-building features for you to use. The Wandering Tavern is 100% human-created with absolutely no AI involvement. So if you're convinced like me, check the link in the description for the Kickstarter and go right ahead and back today. And I will see you in the Wandering Tavern. Hey listener, how are you enjoying the show so far? Tell us about it in whatever way you see fit. Go to our social media pages and add us or DM us about your favorite episode of the show. We would love to hear from you on what impact our show might have had on your home games. Or you could review us on your podcast app of choice and leave us a nice message with a 5-star review. And if you want to go above and beyond, bring a friend into the fold. Tell them about our show and refer us to them so they can get a piece of the pie as well. Thank you for listening to DM and joining us on this incredible journey.
So Imi, in recent weeks, I've been talking a lot about this witch that my characters have to find or did find or however the story goes up to this point, right?
Yeah, you did.
And about that witch, I wanted to talk to you a bit about the starting point of this whole plot line, basically.
Okay.
Because what I did to give my players the plot hook of that witch, because they wanted to find someone powerful enough to circumvent death or reverse it, was basically their idea behind it.
Okay.
And I know there was a witch somewhere in the mountains with the big snowstorm and all of that shit, because I built that one when I built the world, because I was just on a rant and just kept making weird stuff, right? You know that.
I know the feeling, yeah.
And then I thought, hey, let's put that witch in there, but how do I convey that message without just saying, yeah, we heard there was an evil, quote unquote, evil witch that might be able to help you in that regard, because she did already help a lot of other people with their diseases or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in an old child's tale, in a kid's story, because in most cases, at least where we come from, kids' tales have some sort of reasoning or reason behind them why they exist, to teach children something or prevent them from doing something specific, right? Like Hansel and Gretel, don't go alone into the woods or whatever the fuck. There's always some sort of moral behind every weird shit the German stories do tell.
Yeah.
Because they are weird and fucked up, but there's always some sort of good moral behind it, usually.
Especially when it's a children's tale, it is made to teach children something.
Exactly. And so I crafted a children's story around that powerful witch to circumvent or prevent the children from the area to go into the mountain areas to keep them from harm. But then I thought, why not make it this witch in particular? And now there is in the world that we currently play in a story about a powerful witch that can bring back people to life and steal kids and whatever the fuck, designated to that specific witch in the mountains that my players wanted to visit. So what I did to just get them onto the trail is tell them or paraphrase the children's story to them. And now they have some sort of a lead, because in some stories, there's always some bit of truth.
Yeah, they come from something and develop from there. But that truthy core will probably stay inside that story for as long as it can.
Exactly. And that's something that I want to talk to you a bit about, is myths and legends and stories and how to enter them into your world and how to use them and all of that.
Yeah.
So my first question is, did you ever use myths and legends within your world? Not drawing from them as inspiration, but using them within your world.
So a myth or a legend that is in my world existent, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, constantly. At all times, there's stories being told, right? People are still people. It doesn't matter if they're elves or dwarves or gnomes or dragonborns or tieflings or humans. They are people and they will tell stories. They will craft sagas around what they saw or heard and tell that to other people, because that's what we do. We are social. We talk to each other and we tell each other about the stuff that we experienced. And obviously we exaggerate a bit, and then one thing leads to another and dragons exist. Now, the thing is, right, in these fantasy worlds, dragons do actually exist, but still tales of those dragons still exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
My players can sit down in a tavern, and whenever they sit down in a tavern, I basically have something prepared to tell them. That can be, right, that can range from, I heard the local, the local witch, or the local, not just even the witch, the local farmer's boy saw something in the fields, to, okay, I was in a dragon fight, you know, right, and I lost my arm in that, and the dragon bit it off clean, and my everything is scarred, and I'm still searching for revenge on that blue and purple dragon at once, and from that a story develops, right?
Mm-hmm.
People talk, and they have stories to tell, and that's just myth and legends. Myth and legends are just basically bigger, grander words for the stories simple people tell, and that is mostly because these stories have been told for hundreds of years and have been told by many different people and has spread across a wider area. So for example, if you're, my world, right, my players are in a region that is very much connected to the Feywild. So the forests often have either open or abandoned Fey portals, circles of mushrooms, stone, and flowers, that if you trap into them in the wrong way, you land in the Feywild. Now, there's obviously stories about that in the entire area. There's stories about how this area became connected to the Feywild. And it is a myth, a legend, a saga, whatever you want to call it. But there is the connection there. People have experienced it and they tell other people about it. That's exactly what I do all the time. I have so many different stories. I have, for every place my players are are able to visit in my worlds, there's often some kind of mystical story about it. Because let's be real, this is a fantasy tale or even a sci-fi tale, but let's stay in the fantasy realm for this. And yeah, the people talk about it and there's stuff happening that is unexplainable to some or not necessarily understood by many. Mm. And that's where the stories develop. Now in sci-fi, the same thing works with unexplainable tech, with strange phenomena, right? We have stories in our real world that are explained by gravity, that are explained by natural forces. That also works in the sci-fi world, right? Mm. The gravitational pull of a certain planet has shifted and people start telling stories of aliens.
Just having, for example, in a cyberpunk kind of setting, you have that one edge runner that is just legendary and their tales will be told for whatever, however long, and bars and drinks and buildings are named after them just to commemorate what they've done. And even if they haven't done any of that that is told nowadays, because the story just evolved, you still have a legend right there, or a story, a tale, a myth, whatever. And I think that that's a beautiful way to introduce past campaigns into your current setting, to keep their memory alive in a way, is when you have completed one of your campaigns in your world and play another in the same world, mm-hmm. but a couple of years later, have a story about their old characters be told to their new characters. It's a way to connect your players to the world even more and to say, hey, you as players already did that, but your characters don't know about that. It's a way to convey information and still bring back that nostalgic feeling to the players.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, talking about how you bested, for example, when your Tyranny of Dragons campaign is over at some point, reminiscing about how you as players defeated the Dragon Queen Tiamat is just amazing. That's one thing that I like to do, or is a way to introduce the effects or the things that you did in a one shot in the same world, but in a completely different region to your currently playing characters. That's always something that I like to do, is use as fuel for your myths and legends in your game, use something that you played yourself. Not necessarily with the same group, but could very well be.
I'm going to go into the literary definition of those words a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that doesn't want a reminder of like 8th, 9th grade literature class can turn off for the next 5 minutes or something. Obviously stay here, because this is actually very cool for your TTRPGs to know and use. Because knowing what type of story you're telling to your players, knowing which type of story you are telling to your players in your world in that moment is great. Because one of the big things about these stories and sagas, myth, legends, you tell your players in your world by an NPC in a tavern, by hearsay from the local freak in the village or something, right? That within this constraints of TTRPGs, you often want these stories to be true or, right, be existent. So if the tale is about a curse that befalls this land every winter, and that in the winter, I don't know, people grow immensely, some people just disappear in the night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just obviously a myth, people say. And then winter comes at a time that it's not supposed to come. And suddenly your players realize that it's actually true, right? You want this mythical, fantastical experience. And you do that through telling them a tale, foreshadowing, and then the events that actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to that, but knowing which story you're telling is kind of great. So we have several words, and I'm going to focus on myth, legend, and saga.
Okay.
So myth is the easiest one, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
because a myth is a story that should not happen, or rather, that did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So a myth is often combined with otherworldly presences in our world. So a myth of the divine. I saw God is a myth by conventional standards, because it never happened. It's a story that is really outrageously untrue, more or less, and basically used to explain things that just never happened. It's someone telling a story in a tavern, obviously exaggerating that there is a dragon living in the mountains and stuff like that.
Mm.
Everyone knows there is no dragon living in the mountains, but hearing the story is fun. Sitting around the campfire campfire and hearing that story is fun and it's great entertainment and it's just jovial fun between friends at the campfire. But then an actual dragon appears in the mountains. Mm. That is the thing, right? You tell your players this tale. You present this tale of whatever you want in your world. You put it basically in a very neat package for your players to unpack by just telling them about it first without them actually experiencing it, and just give them a tale of it so they are aware of it but maybe don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And then you suspend their disbelief, or you suspend you suspend everything and say, there's an actual dragon in the mountains, and it's also a special type of dragon, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, especially in TTRPGs, where it's highly unlikely that story is true, but there's always that little shadow of a doubt that it could be still true. That's the thing that makes myths so amazingly great in especially TTRPGs or fantasy TTRPGs. Because, you have the option that there really is a dragon in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
But it's highly unlikely, isn't it? That's for your players to decide. Or to find out, I guess. Or both.
Or both. Right? It's you want your world filled with stories. That is the most important takeaway from this episode right from the get-go, after 15 minutes of listening time to the discussion at least. You out there want your world filled with stories. And you want it filled with all kinds of stories. Stories that make sense within the constraints of your world, yes. However, you should also bend those constraints. Mm. Who's to say that not some weird, strange village folk encountered something that has never been encountered before? That is literally the juice of a TTRPG story. Because now your players hear about this story and say, let's investigate. Let's go out exploring and finding things. Mm. Go watch Star Trek, by the way. Star Trek is a show about a spaceship crew. What a surprise. Everyone knows Star Trek, at least I hope. And they go out on their missions into deep space, or into outer space, or into space just in general, and do stuff. And they meet new things. They meet different things. They meet weird things. Mm. And they deal with it per episode. That is great. That is a TTRPG session. Every Star Trek episode is a TTRPG session.
Yeah.
And that applies to sci-fi, that applies to fantasy, that applies to urban punk, whatever. You have stories in your world, and your players want to encounter these stories, especially if those stories are, in quotation marks, new to that world, right? For example, if your players are trying to defeat the BBEG, who is a god that has lived for centuries, it is not new to the world. However, no one has ever encountered this BBEG before, therefore there's only few stories or prophecies, right? Mm. We can also go into prophecies in a bit. For example, besides myth, there's also sagas and legends. And sagas and legends are often really based in truth, because sagas are basically retellings of what did actually happen, but sometimes a little bit over-exaggerated and told in a different way. But it did happen. So a saga of a giant battle between demons and paladins of this world is a saga. You tell the story of how 200 years ago, paladins, 100,000s of them, fought a demonic horde invading the country, saving so many people through that. And the battlefields are still soaked in blood and sweat and tears of paladins and demons.
Mm.
That it now takes on magical effects, right? Because surprise, surprise, if your world has magic or unexplainable tech or whatever, what is considered a myth in our world would only be a saga in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can happen, and it probably did happen. A wizard casting, when I sit in a bar today and tell someone, I saw someone spit a ball of fire at me. Yeah, it's an outrageous lie.
Well, not necessarily.
It is an outrageous lie. We know what I mean. Everyone knows what I mean.
Exactly.
But in a fantasy world, the players would sit there and look at this fellow barman and say, yeah, obviously, everyone can cast fireball here.
That could be just a bad Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. A myth becomes a saga, especially if your world is supposed to deal with that. And the thing is, right, as I said before, you want to explore these strange stories in your TTRPGs. There are entire TTRPGs based on finding cryptic creatures in the woods and dealing with them in whatever way.
Mm-hmm.
But games are focused on, TTRPGs are focused on walking this path of having somewhat of a reality, but going beyond it, going to the edges, right? That's why I like the word edge runners for player characters in Cyberpunk.
Yeah, that's pretty
not
cool.
Not only because it is a good thing, because the players are literally supposed to be at the edge of the combat zone doing work, but also because player characters are supposed to do something that no one has done before. It's not really the right way to say it, but it is kind of there. You kind of get what I mean.
Yeah.
Player characters are supposed to do and explore things that are new. They are supposed to discover and explore.
Yeah, they should break or bend the boundaries that they are at the edge of and run into uncharted territory. That's the thing. They are in... right at the edge of that is known, and that is something that not necessarily the whole world hasn't seen before, but isn't the norm or the standard for human living in a cyberpunk world.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to traverse and run across both boundaries, because they have to traverse into the new shit every damn day to make a living, to make a name for themselves, or whatever your character has set out to do, but have to return to the normal world, in quotation marks, to receive their glory, their money, their praise, their whatever, right?
Yeah.
They have to find something in the new zone and bring it back to the old life.
Yeah.
And that's they're running back and forth over this edge between those two parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely
yeah, no.
Name.
For real. Right? Even TTRPGs, where your players are supposed to be more mundane people, not heroes or epic soldiers, but normal mundane people, it is still supposed to be a game where they can explore something that is not mundane in itself to them. That is where the TTRPG sauce lies. That is where the juice of these games lies. And most games I've played, it's always not necessarily that the players are extraordinarily or something different, but that they are in experiences of something new. They are part of these myths and legends, because all TTRPGs are is storytelling. Even if you don't play TTRPGs for the storytelling, which is totally fine, by the way, you can just play the D&D dungeon simulators. That is good. That is also good. But you're still crafting a myth, a legend, a saga. You're still crafting a story that is then to be told. And fun thing, you can tell that story outside the game to other people, right? You play your TTRPGs on a Tuesday night with your friends. And on a Thursday night, you always go meet up with your old school friends. And everyone talks about what their week has been like. And you say, yeah, I played TTRPGs on Tuesday again. And they are like, okay, what happened? And you can tell the epic story of what happened. Like, you've not just watched a movie or played a video game, you experienced a story that you can now tell.
You slew a dragon. You fought a system.
When you watch a movie and you see someone slay a dragon on the screen, it's not like I slew a dragon. And even if you play a video game, right, you can say I slew a dragon in video game X.
Or I beat that boss or something along those lines.
But in the TTRPG, the stories are often more, I did that. Sure, I only rolled dice and my character was the one in actual danger. But I did that.
Yeah, but at that moment, I was the character, so fuck you, I did that. Yeah.
It was my experience, and it was fucking epic, and I want to tell people about it. That
my
is
choices,
why we...
my experiences, everything that happened in that session was because of you, the player, the dungeon master, or the game master, or your fellow players and characters. Everything that happened only happened because you as a group wanted it to happen, not because some game, some code, some script has said to you that this is supposed to happen, but you made the choice that this should happen, and then it did. So you did everything to create that myth, legend, saga, or whatever, right? To create that amazing story, that the reason why we play TTRPGs, creating awesome stories, memorable moments, and just overall having amazing fun.
100% this. TTRPGs are about storytelling, and that is inside the game and outside the game. Now, the thing is, let's talk about using stories in your TTRPGs, right? We said we love them. We said why you need them and why they're great and what stories are and blah, blah, blah.
I just have to interject there real quick. You teased three definitions.
Oh, yeah.
We only got myths and sagas.
Okay.
We didn't get to legends yet. Sorry about that, but we have to do that.
Legends are just stories that should not have happened, but did happen.
Okay, gotcha.
Oftentimes, retellings of history that has been so perverted, more or less, by stuff like that. So there was, for example, there was a battle between two factions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sides threw a flaming boulder at the other side. And over hundreds of years of retellings, that boulder became a dragon that spit fire on the other side.
Mm, yeah, okay,
that would be a legend. The battle actually happened. It is based on historical fact that the battle happened. However, the legend is there was a dragon, even though it was just a flaming boulder. That
so kind of a mix between sagas and myths.
Yeah, a legend is just a saga that has been perverted by retellings, more or less.
Okay.
About stories, right? They evolve all from the person that is telling them. And that is one thing about using these stories, in my opinion. Think about who's telling that story and how they would tell it.
Mm-hmm.
So a drunk person in a tavern might not remember many details because they're just telling a story for the yucks of it. They're just doing it. Some historical scholar that is reading a paper where a story is described, right? They would maybe even say when they read the story to the players that this is all bullshit. This can't be, that this is wrong or something, right? And they would point out fallacies in that story. A tavern keeper that is telling the players of something another adventuring party told them 2 days ago, they would just say, yeah, it's just what I heard. Stories matter by the people that are telling them, and they would swap and switch details depending on what they think is important, right?
Yeah.
And this is coming back to the children's story. When parents tell children stories to their children, they will make sure that the children's story is suitable for their children and telling them what the parent wants to tell them. And that is, for example, eat your vegetables. Don't leave the house after it's night out or something, right? Just stay inside. Don't talk to strangers. Stuff like that. They would then tell that story in that certain way. And for example, if a certain story is being used to always tell your kids to stay inside at night, then that story will develop to focus on staying inside at night. So if it's a German story, it will tell that all the kids that went outside after dark died.
Yeah, died, kidnapped, horribly mangled, whatever. As gruesome as you can think, that will be in the German story and more.
And
we are fucked up. Yeah, perfect. Like a baby. Just a quick tangent here. Do you remember Struwwelpeter?
That was definitely the worst story I ever heard.
Yeah. Or the Max und Moritz things.
Oh.
They were also horrifying.
There is a lot of horrifying stuff in German kids' stories.
Mm-hmm. And that isn't even the folklore part.
No.
That gets fucked up even more.
No. Those are really just the stories about normal kids doing stuff, using these stories, right? They have a purpose, why they are being told. So their purpose can be someone asked, right? Can you tell me what happened here? And someone says and tells what happened here. They can be, tell me something, old man. I want to know something about this land, right? You can just literally have someone ask and then they're telling something that they think the other person would want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They can be to lecture children. They can be to create, fame and wealth, right? A bard in a tavern might sing or tell of certain stories that will attract a lot of people's attention so they can get more money. But the purpose of that story, why it is being told by someone, matters. And that is what you should think about when telling that story. However, something is even more important than that, and that is the story itself. And how do you develop that story that you want to tell, Niels?
Well, it all starts with an idea, as per usual.
Yeah.
That's basically a bit like you creating a plot line for your current game, or creating the whole story behind it, or a bit of history to your place that you're currently playing at. It starts with an idea that you then try to develop further, to put it just very roughly. You have an idea, add some details to it, and have a rough timeline. There you go, you have the basis of every type of story that you want. And then depending on who tells that story, why they tell that story, and at what point, how long it has been in circulation and whatever, then you can start to add details to it. Depends obviously on who is telling the story and why. For example, a bard might tell a more epic tale, so you add more epic descriptors, or in general more dangerous things to an awesome what was once a saga. You exaggerate these things even more and then turn it into a legend, like the fireball becoming a fucking dragon thingamajig, right? So the thing is, you always start with what the story should be about, and then slowly add details depending on who is telling the story and why.
And then also add details depending on the context of your world.
Exactly. Exactly.
For example, it starts with, okay, there was this battle between two fronts and they fought and one side won and they won this. And for example, the context is a little bit more, okay, why did they even fight? What did the attacker want? What did the defender want? And stuff like that, right? From that, you develop more and more context, more and more clues. And you can obviously start with the story itself. So you have the story and then one of your players asks, so why did they fight? And then you have to make something up, obviously, right? But in the context that develops, and it doesn't matter if that is actually true or not, because it is just what is being told right now. You're in direct speech right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is totally okay to make something up on the get-go and then change it later. It is the told story. It can be false. Misconceptions are something great you should think about for your stories, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you that. When you tell a story to your players, when you present a myth, a legend, a prophecy, misconceptions are allowed to happen, especially if the story is big. Think about misconceptions that did already happen and devolve into truths over time. Or not into universal truth, but into accepted facts. So for example, if there is a story about a dragon living in the mountains that is both silver and purple, for example, right? A silver-purple dragon. A mix between a metallic and a gem dragon. And like the researcher goes, that can't be right. There is no such dragon in existence, right? However, it has been told like this for 400 years, so maybe that is. So they send the characters out to investigate it. The players find a dragon. It is, however, not silver and purple. It is still just a silver dragon that was, I don't know, shining in the light like it is purple or something like that.
Yeah, or you find two dragons, one silver, one purple, or whatever.
And over time, people have just mixed and matched the stories of a silver dragon and a purple dragon into one because they work together. And it is a misconception that this is one dragon. It is true. For example, in the Forgotten Realms, in the Mirror of the Dead Man, there is a dragon, Vorganthar, I think is his name, which is a black dragon, which is supposed to be the fastest dragon alive.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the fastest dragon alive. It is just two siblings that look exactly the same, that live on opposite sides of the Mirror of the Dead Man, and basically fly around in their respective regions. And also kind of do this to confuse people. Like they are so fast, it doesn't matter. You adventurers can't chase me because there's two of them. And they are using that fact to their advantage.
Yeah.
But it is a misconception that there is one fast dragon. There is two. And that is something the players can find out. Misconceptions are once again a place for your players and player characters to basically insert themselves and clear up those misconceptions to understand the actual truths and learn and explore once again.
Exactly. It's just, having these stories is a way or a different way to convey information to your players. However, if they are true or false, that's up for your players to find out and to investigate. Regarding that misconception, finding out if things are true or not, one thing comes to mind.
Okay.
And that is our actual play, Titan's Call. If you haven't listened to it, give it a listen. It's amazing.
No, I haven't.
Good shit. Shut up. No, but it's really good. And we had that one scene recently that one episode where we went to the library to check out different things, find out stories, information, or in general, just information about the stuff that happened. But what we still have to keep in mind is, these aren't necessarily universal truths. These papers have been written by someone and they might have bias or don't have all the information or just made shit up because... Right? We found multiple different books. I don't want to spoil any too much, but we found different types of books, different basically genres of books to draw inspiration or information out of. But we still have to think about, hey, this is, for example, a storybook. This is just a children's storybook, but this is a research paper. Are the information equally valuable? Maybe. Aren't they? I can't say because we don't know. We can just try to reference the shit that we read with the things that we experienced as characters and then try to make up our own personal truth about it. And that's the thing. That is what happens a lot or should happen a lot with myths, legends, sagas, and all in general stories within your world is whoever tells them first adds bias to them. Whoever repeats them adds bias as well, and so on and so forth. The characters then hear the story and reference it with things that they have experienced or will experience.
With their own bias. They are also just another cog in the machine of the story being told and developing over time. They might be the ones uncovering delivering the truth.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that they don't have to tell another thing. Right? If you have a bard, like this is the thing. I hate the bard class in D&D. I'm sorry. I hate it.
I know.
I just do not like it. It doesn't fit anywhere in the game. I like the idea of a storyteller. I like the idea of artistic expressions being something that is used to create magic and attacks and stuff. But the bard class just falls flat. It just doesn't work for me. However, the idea of a storyteller being able to weave stories, crafts, and artistic expression, create something, right? The bard is a creator. That is the type of character that most bards are. They are creators. That is beautiful because it allows your players to actually tell stories of what they experienced. And that is the main focus of the bard class for me, or what it's supposed to be, being able to interact with these stories. The bard is supposed to be understanding the stories that the players learned and then more or less be the one that not necessarily just tells them, but gathers information about these stories, right? They're the ones sitting in a tavern, being social with all NPCs, learning from them, learning about types of cultures and people and their stories that the players then can use to shape their adventures. But no, bards are just horny motherfuckers that play the lute.
Yeah, definitely, because we all have to adhere to these strict... We all sign an unwritten contract that when we play D&D, we all have to adhere to some stupid bullshit like bards being loot playing fuckboys, fighters just don't care about anything but how many weapons they can hold. Barbarians are just, I am dumb, let's smash through a wall, right? There is no nuance with characters.
Yeah, no.
Roleplay in my role-playing game? Nah, couldn't
but
be.
The thing about Titan's Call is, right, at the end of the day, all the stories that I'm telling you have some kind of meaning and truth core behind them. Even the myths have some kind of truth. Oftentimes, it is completely falsely assumed truth. So, for example, I don't know what myth I can... Niels, one of the things in Titan's Call that you learned as a story, talk to me about it, and I'm going to give you, not a spoiler, but I'm going to tell how that is kind of true.
Okay, the thing that stuck with me the most in story regards is the story about this ancient black marble city that was found or not
found? Perfect. There is truth behind that. People have encountered this structure, right? They didn't understand the structure. They didn't know what the structure was, but they were able to describe it. And from that, a myth developed of this structure, of this city, of this temple or whatever, right? That is where
we have to find out what it is.
Yeah, you guys will have to find out what it is. But right, the thing is that there is truth behind it. People actually found it and they went from that and tried to make sense of it. We are always trying to make sense of something. And that is where our stories come from, especially those with misconceptions in them.
Yeah.
Okay, how does that work? I don't know, but I need to explain it so you can understand what I just experienced, right? And sometimes the best experience is not necessarily a lie, but another myth, right? The entire battlefield was burning. A dragon must have been there. Dragons don't exist. Yeah, but a dragon must have been there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not bullshitting your way through something, but it kind of is. Because you want to have an explanation, but you don't know how that works. So you take the next best thing that you think could work and just put it in there. If it was there or not, doesn't fucking matter. It is now. It does work so now because you said it does when you retell the story. And that's kind of beauty. The beauty behind storytelling is you have these multiple different viewpoints that can tell the same shit, but through different viewpoints. And then you can have the same story told by three or how many other different people with the same core, but with different nuances that can be completely different at first glance. But once you hear the story and think about it, you notice, okay, that's basically the same story as that one, but with a different skin on it. And then you piece together all the information that are the same or different or how they differ, if it's just a name or a description, or is the thing that they are describing completely different. And then you piece together what is the core of all of these stories and find if there is truth behind it or if that just devolved from, yeah, it was once a truth, but just got mangled up and now everybody just agrees that this happens. Who knows? That's the beauty behind stories. You have the option to tell the same story multiple times with different nuances and different quote-unquote facts, but still have it make sense in the world because it just works within the confines of your own creation in the, at the end of it. And yeah, seeing what your players do with basically the same story five times, but from different angles, is sometimes really fun, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because in most cases, they don't agree on one standpoint. If you have five players at your table, you have five different viewpoints on each of those five stories that you just told.
The thing is, right, when you present certain things, right, go into the uniqueness of how that story might affect a certain character. Because all of these characters have five different lived experiences. Mm-hmm. Knowing, for example, this character has lived in the north side region, it is always icy for them. That myth might represent differently for them, right? For example, you could make a campaign about all of the players have all heard the same prophecy, however in five different versions of retellings, that led them all still to the same point where they are now fulfilling the prophecy. But make sure that your stories, that your myths and legends, even though your players might already know them, are different from region to region, because people will adapt to the lived experiences that they have. They will also adapt their stories so they fit into those lived experiences. And that is where you want to focus, right? Focus different cultures, different experiences with your stories once again. And that is a great way to do that. You small, different, detailed changes can already have a big impact.
Yeah, because that's, like we said, when you create one of your stories in-game, you have an idea, but then add all the details to it. Mm-hmm. And if you change those added details, it completely changes the conception or the perception, rather, of the story itself. It might be, or it is, the same fucking shit, but it doesn't feel like it. And that's where you want to be. Having the same story, it's not always, but at some point you want to have the same story told a lot of different times, but with all the details different. Every time there's something different. Or each time only one small detail gets changed and the story gets told and told and told again. But then you look at the way that the characters traveled, and at one point it was this story. They noticed only small changes, but they keep changing stuff. But at the end of their journey, they still think, yeah, I have heard that story yesterday before, no problem. But then you look at how the story originally started and it's completely different. And at the same time, it isn't. That's where you want to be sometimes. It's amazing.
One big thing you as a GM can do, by the way, to, right? The thing is always, well, how do I get my players to role-playing? How do I get them to do a little bit of jovial fun role-playing without me having to prompt it? Well, you have to prompt it if they are not doing it by themselves, but sit them around a campfire. They are long resting at night, but they are still eating. And then you describe the scene. You're at a campfire. There's this warm feeling coming from the flames. You're sitting around it, surrounded by woods and the darkness of night. You hear the distant cries of one or two wolves, not in any range to be dangerous to you. You hear a bird fly up above you, and you look up into the sky. You see the big moon looming over you. So as you're sitting around the campfire, who is telling a story? And what story is that? It doesn't have to be that you get your players to start telling grand stories. But why not let them tell stories that they think their character knows? And by the way, GMs, that's a great way to get plot hooks. Because as we said, those stories are based in truth. So if one of your players starts talking about a dragon or a slipper's cat, you can use that. You can write that down and use for whenever you need it. And let's be real, sometimes you need new plot hooks and have to come up with something on the get-go. So you open your fucking drawers, pull out the note that you've made, the story one of the players told. There is this green and whatever other color dragon. I think green and purple was what Smurf said in Titan's Call. There's this green and purple dragon. And I look at my note, having it handy for whenever I need it.
Fuck.
Because that is what USGMs want. You want your world filled with fantastical stuff. So let your players do some of that work for you if they are up to it. If they're not, that's okay. But if they're up to it, why not let them do it?
Yeah, it makes everyone at the table feel that they are a part of the world. not just the story that you're currently telling as the table, but the world that you together created through your own actions. Be it you as a game master creating the whole world beforehand, or the players changing places and people for the better on and or the worse, or whatever, you have an impact on the world. And having stories that you created together or alone be part of the story that you are currently telling and playing and creating is an amazing way to just bind it all together, to create a feeling of, yeah, I am part of this world. I'm not just someone who can be plucked out of it and then still works. These characters that we are currently playing only work in this universe. They only work here because we are so connected to the world that we all created through our own actions. And that's something that stories can beautifully, when you use the stories that your characters give you, that you create yourself, that use some sort or some part of their character's essence as well. That's something that you can do as well. Yeah. Create a story that includes, for example, a family line of one of your players. That's fucking amazing. That's all I wanted to say.
Perfect then.
But yeah, I think with that we covered stories, myths, legends, and all of that. Or do you have anything else to add?
I think we're done. I think we've put a good way to why telling these stories is a great thing for your TTRPG games.
And with that, thank you all for listening. Hear you on the next one, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Double DM. It appears you liked this one. What we had to say and our advice helped you. Why not show us how we helped you in a rating, or even write a review detailing us how we helped? You can do this on the platform that you are listening on right now. It's just a few clicks, doesn't take long, and helps us out. It gets us out there and our advice into more ears of more people. Thanks again for listening and joining us on this amazing journey. Have a great day, and see you on the next one. Bye bye.